Dice and Pizza contains descriptions of peril, natural disasters, and kaiju. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Hello, Wayward listeners. Welcome back to Dice and Pizza, an actual play show that is once again following a ragtag band of heroes who are chasing after Tenkai. And we are back in the world of Myrios yet again. My name is Derek, he, him pronouns, and I am the guide for our trio of heroes.
Hello, hello. I'm Maya Worrell, they, them pronouns, please. And I play Saba, he, him. Masked Guardian of Kokuru, Ben and Chosen, self-proclaimed releaser of Tenkai, hater of Scallop, no longer the only guardian in the party. In fact, like, I think we're all technically guardians now.
Top of the morning, vertebrates. My name is Justin, he, him pronouns. I'll be playing Driftwood, they, them pronouns. Driftwood is the party doctor. And Guardian, I don't know, but all Driftwood knows is that this mask is very sticky, sweaty, it's not very comfortable, I need to breathe.
Hello, hello, my name is Kyla, my pronouns are they, them, theirs, and I play Erneas, Ernie for short, also they, them, theirs pronouns, a skilled spy having some difficulties overall, just in life in general. Never seen without their red lens goggles, trusty swords. They're a little tired of all these trials and guardian business.
As usual, we are playing Quest. It's a rules light system that focuses on storytelling and world building, and it's by the Adventure Guild. Everything we will roll will be with a D20. And if you didn't see on Twitter, you can play Quest for free, so you can try this game for free if you like the show. So yeah, do that. But first, let's do a quick recap. Because it's been a minute since we've been back in Myrios. So last time on Dice and Pizza, our party decided to do the Guardian Trials. They swam beneath the ocean, retrieved a pearl of massive size. They then went and pulled a sword out of a pickle crab, who was very aggravated by it. And then they went to what they were told was a not active volcano that was actually a very active volcano. And inside the heart of the volcano, they unlocked a secret chamber where they were judged by a mysterious entity. One by one, our heroes and Sidon were judged before to see if they were worthy of being a guardian. While Ernie failed and Zaba succeeded, Driftwood ultimately passed as well. More shockingly, Sidon did not and was turned into a wolf to pay for his mistakes. And where we pick back up is right after Driftwood has put on the mask of Noro.
Driftwood takes off the mask real quickly and is like, God, so sweaty. How can you wear this all the time?
I've never had the same issue that you seem to be having.
Well, I'm a notorious sweater if it hasn't been obvious already. Anyway, we should probably get out of here and show them the stuff that happened, because a lot happened to us. Ernie, you don't look too good also.
Yeah, I like I said, I feel like shit.
I look at Sidon.
Yeah, I think we have a bigger problem than how I'm doing, though.
What could that be? Oh, yeah. Sidon. I walk over to Sidon and scratch Sidon on the ears. It's gonna be okay, buddy.
Sidon seems to be relaxing a bit more. Like, Sidon had a lot of, like, anxiety in his eyes. You could all kind of see, like, Sidon was very afraid of, like, all these surroundings. Because Sidon was the tallest person in the party. Now Sidon is the shortest and has four legs.
I thought wolves were bigger than that. So there is Sidon, like, a small wolf?
Well, but if you look at height-wise, Sidon's not going to reach. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're kind of short.
Maybe Sidon just needs to practice walking on two legs.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
No. If we start to move, will Sidon follow us?
Yeah, yeah. As you all start to move, Sidon is following you. Sidon is, like, aware and is moving with you all.
I'm like, Sidon, If you understand me, blink once.
So I didn't like kind of blinks, yeah.
Maybe I should have said blinks twice.
Kind of, yeah. Sidon kind of blinks, but Sidon is following, and you know that, like, you notice, like Sidon as a wolf has like that jewel of Tosu that he wears around his neck, just around his like neck as a wolf, like a little collar. But he's following.
When Sidon transformed too, all of his clothes were left behind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much all his stuff is on the ground.
Okay, we should
pick it up. I start folding it.
Oh god.
Yeah, same with the sword that Sidon got as well. That's all on the ground.
Oh man.
Oh, I have too many swords. Someone else should grab that.
So what was Sidon wearing? Was it like a tunic or like a shirt or a
Yeah, it was like a flowy kind of like tunic that was like crossed over with like a sash tied around it and some pants, and I think Sidon was wearing boots, but now is wearing had been wearing sandals and had like a small like sack full of like snacks and like bandages.
Mm.
Is there any jerky in there?
Oh, yeah, there's some jerky.
Okay, I take some out and hand it to Sidon.
Cool, Sidon eats it.
I heard Ernie jerky. instead of any jerky. Is there any jerky?
You're hearing things, Abba. You're hearing things.
What happened to the swords that was like with the pearl?
Is it the wall? So as you're like walking away from this like sick area, the sort of wall that was there that like sealed it off begins to close again, and the sword and the pearl and the blood that was left in the other handprint start to glow, and then they sort of like melt and kind of disappear magically.
Okay, I'll take Sidon's sword then, since I no longer have a sword.
Were you kind of hoping you would get to keep the sword?
Well, if I had gotten that sword, I wouldn't take Sidon's sword because I don't need more than one sword.
I see.
Unlike you.
Hey. Having more than one sword is useful,
okay? I'll take the sword. I stick my hand out. Who has the sword?
It's on the ground. I didn't pick it up.
Oh, I thought someone had picked it up.
I said I have too many swords already. You should be proud of me for my restraints. This is the treatment I get.
I pick up the sword.
I'm proud of you, Ernie. I can tell you went through a lot. We all went through something different right now. So I can't even imagine what you went through.
It was
fine. For me, there was a big voice that was talking to me. Was there a voice talking to all of you?
Yeah, mine was pretty judgmental.
Mine was judgmental, too.
Okay.
Mine wasn't.
Oh, okay. But
judging occurred here. Driftwood grabs the large tunic because Sidon was big, right?
Yeah.
Was a big dude.
Yeah, he was like so 6 foot or something. Yeah.
Driftwood's kind of just like playing around with it. He's like, wow, so large. So large of a person Sidon was.
I'm folding Sidon's socks, rolling them up. As you're waving around the tunic.
I imagine Driftwood took one that was already folded.
Yeah,
I folded the tunic and you picked it up and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, then I grabbed the socks and I was like, ooh, big socks too. Just keep going back and forth a little bit.
Trying to fold it.
It doesn't feel too different being a guardian, let me just say.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
Well, you didn't tell us that for a long time, actually. Well, okay. Driftwood like lays down the tunic and starts wrapping up everything, all of Sidon's things in the tunic like a bundle. And I was like, well, we got this mask. It looks like a shark.
Yeah, wait, can you describe the mask?
So it's shaped like a shark's face, but it's got like teeth, like ridges in it, and it looks like it's made of some kind of bamboo.
Oh.
A harder bamboo.
Okay.
And it looks a little scorched. So it's like brown, like really like a dark mahogany-ish brown. And the eyes are pearls. Yeah. And then there's a like a big fin, a shark fin on top. And that's also ridged. And it's the same material that the shark tooth comb that I have is made of.
So it's like
matching
the bone line.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll for flavor.
Yeah. 19.
Not a nat 20.
So close.
Yeah.
But still, it's very cool, and you do feel a little bit of magic emanating from the mask. Yeah.
Magic everywhere. There's magic in here. I can feel it. Yeah. My spine starts tingling again. And it's like, ooh, I have to get used to this. Is guardianing always feeling like this chi energy around you, Zava?
I don't know what you mean by that.
I just feel like the vibrations of the world a little bit more acutely.
Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't get my mask in that case.
Is there any feeling left out?
No.
maybe Zaba is just totally numb to the feeling of early guardianship.
I'm trying to drink some tea right now. I have to spit it back in the cup. I mean, Zaba did get his mask very young, so it's probably like just, yeah, part of life. Mm.
I think Driftwood also senses like a cooling effect because we're still in the volcano, right?
Yeah, and it is starting to revert back to its dormant stage.
Okay, yeah. So I can imagine it's still pretty like internally warm, mm-hmm. but when Driftwood is wearing the mask, it kind of has this cooling effect like throughout their entire body. So it feels very different from how they're feeling. So they keep like taking it off and taking it on. Like, whoa, you gotta try this out.
You don't just give other people your mask.
I know, like totally compared to Zava, who keeps the mask on forever.
You all have not seen Zava without his mask.
Yeah.
No.
It's just my face. This kind of rough-hewn. My mask is much more rough than.
Yeah, it's very plain too. It doesn't have like any designs in it.
No, it doesn't even really like look like anything. It's just kind of like a vaguely trapezoidal rounded mask.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it suits your personality, Zava.
What?
You know, we can find meaning in anything, so.
Yeah.
I think your mask suits you too.
Oh, thank you. Well, okay, so we did this thing, and obviously we gotta solve whatever is happening to Sidon boy. Oh, what a good boy. Well, we should go to Tasia then. Sounds like we should go to Tasia first and let her know that this is happening.
Okay. Where did we leave Sora?
Sora's at the top of the volcano.
Okay.
Where do we park the cloud?
Yeah.
Didn't we park it at the base? No, wait.
Yeah. So the three of you climb back up to the top of the volcano. Sora's there. And the four of you hop on. Sidon is a little bit unnerved by being on a cloud as a wolf, but eventually he finds his footing.
Kind of like a little unsteady on his feet.
Yeah, and you begin to set sail. Or I guess, set sail through the air. It was maybe around like afternoon when you entered the mountain. Now it's approaching sunset.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the day's almost over. But you fly back to Tasia's island with ease. There's no random encounters that happen.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Like, how are the seas?
It's pretty chill. It's pretty quiet. And the four of you set down on Tasia's island. She's sitting outside of her tents with some fish and being grilled over some spears over a fire. And she is... The first expression on her face is excited to see Driftwood. Are you wearing the mask, Driftwood?
Yeah, Driftwood's still wearing the mask.
Tasia is excited to see you wearing the mask, but then when Sidon comes out as a wolf, Tasia's expression is a little confused.
Yeah, Sidon and I have a history back in Tosu.
Yeah.
And then Mandy, the manatee, pops up and is like...
So yeah, Tasia is like, well, I see you've all completed the trials. Where did this wolf come from?
Did
Tasia ever meet Sidon?
I don't think
I don't think so. Yeah. So,
Correct.
Well,
yeah.
This is Sidon.
Yes, my buddy Sidon.
Sidon didn't used to look like this.
Oh no.
Like I said,
about an hour ago.
Oh no! More than one of you attempted the the trial.
Weren't we all kind of did?
Well, more than one of you went in to be judged.
We all did.
Oh,
It seems like I'm the only one. I am the only one who came out unscathed.
I see. She goes into like the beach and like digs up like a cooler and pulls out some like raw meat and like hands it to Sidon to like.
I don't know why
it's like a raw steak.
I don't know why I thought she was gonna pull out like some beers or something.
I mean, she does grab like a bottle of like something and offers it up, but she says, "Oh dear, I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness.
It's okay. I mean, I can't speak for Sidon, but."
Sidon kind of whimpers as he begins to sniff the raw steak.
Oh, well, they should really put an instruction guide in the front of the gate over there. I totally thought we were all supposed to go in.
I mean, it's not to say you couldn't all go in. It's just, you know.
I don't.
The volcano is a harsh judge.
Yeah.
Well, it got pretty judgy. I want to ask, why did you say that the volcano is inactive? It very clearly is.
The volcano is magical. That's yes. What I'm trying to say. The volcano is the volcano is magical, and upon starting the rituals and the trials, that's when the volcano activates. When like the spirit of the volcano begins to sense a presence of someone attempting to become the guardian of Noro. Mm. And then it becomes active only for a moment.
Yeah. And it was at such a cost. Speaking of magic, I've lost my access to wizard abilities. This is all that remains. And then Mandy shows up. It's like,
I suppose it could have been worse.
What a tragedy. Yeah. Hey, Mandy's pretty cute.
Mandy's picking
Mandy
up rocks.
Is pretty cute.
Putting it in my pockets again.
Don't know what
and
it
then
is,
I'm like,
but...
not right now.
So you are the guardian now, Driftwood. What do you intend to do?
Well, you know me, Tasia. All of you know me. I like prepare for like some speech. You all know I didn't want this. You too, Sidon. You too, Mandy. And you too, Sora. It's like floating around. All to say, it just felt like I was called to it. And I've never felt that in my life before. I didn't really appreciate any of the guardians still to this day. But if we must...
Zava just stares.
If we must go through this, then I will wear it for now.
Okay.
I intend to help us get through our conflict with Scallop, who very clearly seems to be corrupted with some sort of power or magic. Tensions are high in the town itself right now, and us acting as emissaries in between can only do so much if we're not able to weave all of these mysteries together. And it seems like you, Tasia, while as helpful as you've been, it doesn't seem like you are going to intervene physically over there. So asking you for guidance here, I think, can only prepare us for what's to come. And as someone who has the guardian mask right now, who's acting as Noro's de facto guardian, I think I can only ask you, what can you tell me about guiding this town? This is a position I've never anticipated or even really wanted before.
A very good question, Driftwood. Well, a guardian is many things, first and foremost. They're a friend, a leader, a hunter, a tracker, a person that understands the gods and understands people, first and foremost. And Driftwood, you've always been a bit more on the understanding people and helping people aspect than, say, Scallop has, you know. you understand the needs of the people of the village. And I think what's more important is protecting, you know, what Noro is, and making sure that we don't have to leave our home, making sure that our home, that there still is a home to go back to. We haven't really, rebuilt since then. So rebuilding, you know, getting back out on the sea, exploring again, those are all things a guardian of Noro would do. And for the Festival of Mitra, that is definitely a priority for a guardian.
I think Driftwood gets a little bit emotional and gets a little firm with Tassia and says, "If I believe everything you're saying, yet I also know actions speak louder than words. And being here on Noro, how could all of these values be true and how you believe in them? And how could Scallop still end up being the guardian after all this?"
It's a fair question.
Tassia kind of nods and lets that sit. "I won't defend my decisions because those were made in the past and they've happened and they've had their irreparable mistakes that have caused a great deal of pain. Perhaps that speaks more to me and the position of power I hold, and maybe I should be taking a step back. But to answer your question, I think when you were sent off to go, you know, to go trade our wares and goods and bring us stuff back, you know, you and Scallop were butting heads. You and Scallop were very both hot-headed. To say that I wanted to protect you isn't quite true, but to say that I would have rathered you continue to just be a doctor and be a healer and further that versus learning all of this other stuff, I think at the time I thought that was maybe more important. Or maybe that you wouldn't want to, given everything that happened, you know, with your sibling. Scallop was someone that maybe, under the right tutelage, he could have become someone of less cruel nature, but I failed him there too."
So Driftwood soaks all of this in, because I don't think Driftwood has ever seen Tassia at a level of this vulnerability before. For Driftwood, Tassia was always like this kind of hardened, like aunt mentor type. And so Driftwood looks out at the ocean and looks back at Tassia, who seems pretty down, and says, "I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but I can tell you, Tassia, that as much as I love our community here on Noro, many of the same things have actually made us accept a worse reality, that we are in so much pain and we can't heal and we can't find ways to grow out of that. And I always felt that a lot of my choices weren't my own and that I couldn't really choose for myself. My decision to be who I am and leave, despite how short it was, has allowed me to really believe that there is more for us, that we can be so much more than who we confirm we are on a daily basis. On Noro, we see the same people. We say the same stories. We talk about tradition and we pass it down. But there's more to tradition than simply being able to recite it again. We need to incorporate voices who are younger, who are new, and open up to them. And I sense your shame. It's a shame that I felt ever since Remora was taken. I always felt that it was my responsibility to find them, and I still haven't found them. And I don't even know how hard I'm looking anymore. But if you are stepping away because you feel that shame, I hope that you can forgive yourself. And whether or not you attend the festival tomorrow, I hope you decide to choose what's right for you in a way where you can really, truly forgive yourself."
She nods, and she does not say anything. She just kind of, I think she's letting it soak in a bit.
I think Driftwood, after this showcase of emotion, kind of rounds up the group and says, "At this point, I think we have more information than anyone in Noro about what we should do tomorrow."
We all know that Scallop is definitely not going to like another guardian in town.
maybe then I can be the surprise.
Okay.
Remind me, what is the schedule for tomorrow's festival? Is there a central area where people will be gathering?
Yeah, I would think so.
Scallop's house.
It starts at Scallop's house.
Because that used to be the gathering.
Yeah, that used to be the gathering lodge. So I'm sure there's part of it there. Like the town is like pretty much like a one-lane road. So there's probably like stalls and stuff set up along the town, starting at the lodge, heading down to the town to the beach. And probably things will start at the beach in the morning, you know, greet the sunrise. And as the day kind of works, by the time it's nightfall, that's when the more party festivities will be happening. So the day is mostly spent in like ritual to honor Mitra. You know, everyone says their prayers. There's like a parade.
There's a feast, I would imagine. Yeah, at the end. And then, you know, where Scallop is, the Driftwood resident home is not too far from that.
Yeah.
So we would all essentially be starting the day where the festival would be starting too. And so I imagine if there's any funny business going on, they'll want to know where we are, and that's where we'll be. So in order for us to best prepare for tomorrow, I don't want to assume there will be combat, but I'm assuming there will be combat tomorrow. And not only will that ruin the day's festivities, I can totally see Scallop using that as a point to seize power and totally absorb all attention away from what's supposed to be an honorable and spiritual event, and consolidate the fear of a lot of the citizens who have accepted what's been going on. So we should be as fit as we can be. And there's a question. When we go back on Sora, will there still be time for some of the healers' huts to be open, or do we have to pester them like late at night?
Yeah. If you leave now, yeah.
People get heat stroke during the festival.
I hope not. Well, my suggestion is that we can have Ernie and Sidon check at the healers' huts for their conditions and see if there's not like something that can reverse the effects, at least something that can offset what they've lost.
Or identify other area, like other places we could go to, or other specialists we might visit.
Okay, well, if you all think that somehow we can restore, I don't think, well, I'll follow your lead.
Might as well see. Who knows? They've helped us out before, you know. Maybe they have something.
The gods can do many things.
I also remember that Zaba has two mystery liquid vials that you found.
Wow, you remember more than I do here.
I'm taking notes. So we can identify those with the healers, or if you want to,
I'm not drinking.
Be rash. Just drink them.
I've learned how to make things that can turn people asleep. They can make them fall asleep. What were you gonna say?
When has Zaba ever been rash?
I
see you both thinking.
Well, if our plan tomorrow relies on a surprise from me, you might have to be.
Da-dun.
So we might have to switch our usual tendencies tomorrow if we want to set up a plan of how to either prevent and diffuse and de-escalate a situation, or to get ahead of a potential conflict or show of power from Scallop and his cronies.
Are you all going to head back now?
I guess so.
I think so. And I guess I would just want to reassure Tassia one last time that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I think that tomorrow's fate is in the right hands.
Tassia hugs you and whispers that she's proud of you. So who's going to be navigating Sora back to Noro?
I can, I guess.
Zaba knows the oceans now.
Yeah, actually, I don't want to look at the... I refuse to look at the at the water anytime we're on the cloud.
I at least remember Sora. The routes we've already taken, if nothing else.
Yeah, roll me a trial.
Ooh,
for that.
I'm going to roll.
should I use Monica's dice?
Monica's dice.
Yeah, I'll use Monica's dice. 16.
16, okay.
Nice.
A success. So yeah, the four of you fly with speed back to Noro at sunset, and you arrive safely at the Driftwood residence. The festival is like almost fully set up. There's like banners and streamers and like all sorts of like decorations and some stalls, and people are starting to wind down for the night, but it's like almost there.
We're going to stop by Healer's Hut?
Yeah. Go to the Healer's Hut? All four of you?
Do we need to drop anything off while we're here?
I mean, if you want your parents to, I feel like it would cause a minor distraction with your parents realizing you're a guardian now.
Oh, okay. So let's go to the Healer's Hut first.
Yeah, cool. Let's go.
Let's get all the surprises done at once.
Yeah.
So you go to the Healer's Hut. There is a healer present. It's Tarhun who is present. And he is kind of cleaning things up. We're getting ready to close up shop when you all arrive.
I hide my mask. I don't want any commotion just yet.
Oh, yeah. Talk will get around.
Yeah, so I assume we walk in and it's Driftwood, Zaba, Ernie, a cloud, and then a wolf.
And a manatee.
And then a manatee, yeah, Manny.
Tarhun, the first thing that comes out of Tarhun's mouth is, without even looking, Tarhun says, "You all must be the adventurers from the mainland that Kadana mentioned to me."
How'd you know?
Can I do a quick flavor roll that I know Tarhun from school when we were young?
Oh, like Tarhun's like a young healer also?
Yeah, we went to school and maybe he was like a freshman when I was like a senior.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and
roll to see what your relationship is.
Yeah, yes. Roll for flavor.
Okay.
Oh my God.
16.
Okay. Tarhun glances up and says, "Oh, Driftwood. It's been a while. Good to see you."
"Sup, Tarhun. Hey, you're looking good. You went through the healer's track, huh?"
"Yep, finally."
"Well, do I have a challenge for you then."
"It'll be just like your finals."
"Dear, what have you brought me?"
"I mean,
well, two of us here." Two of us here need healing.
"It's not me.
I want you to guess who it is."
I'm guessing the one with the goggles. And you?
"Me? And then I remember I had like cut myself." "I'm like still bleeding.
You're bleeding, yeah."
"I have like dried blood all over my hand." "I was like, oh, good guess. I mean, I guess there's three of us then. Yeah, there's one more of us though."
Points to Zaba.
Shake my head. "Not me this time.
You have two more guesses."
I'm guessing not the cloud, though that is quite unnerving. The wolf? Do we have wolves on Noro? Oh my. Tarhun starts to like panic and like back up. Like, "Why do you have a wolf with you? Did you know you had a wolf with you?"
No. "Wait, Tarhun. It's a person. Don't worry." "That used to be a person. So
this is a person.
A person?
Yes.
But a wolf?"
"Yeah."
Tarhun like has to like sit down like on a stool like, "Okay, so what do you need me to heal? Does the wolf have like a broken tooth or something?"
"Well, so they used to be a human. It's a human. It's Sidon. Ernie, could you mind doing an intro?"
"What do you do when a god says you're not worthy and then curses you? Do you have any remedies for that?" I'm guessing not.
"The only one, I've never met anyone that's been cursed by the gods. Two, if I did, I would tell them about the whole, you know, I would wonder how they got cursed by the gods. Did they climb Mount Ida and become like, you know, cursed that way? Or did they get cursed because they were mean to the gods? Like how Tenkai was mean to Mitra? Or did they, I don't know, did this human named Sidon do anything bad to the gods?"
"I don't know, we're from Tosu. That's bad enough, isn't it?"
"Well, jeez. I can tell you Sidon's not a bad, mean dude. So I think more leaning along the got smited on Mount Ida type curse."
"Well, then, like tale as old as time. You got to climb Mount Ida and ask the gods to fix it. And if the wolf is worthy, maybe he won't become twisted.
Well, okay. That's the only option we have, huh?
I mean, I don't even know if Mount Ida is real, okay? Like, I'm just saying, like, I don't have that kind of magic.
Sure. Okay. Well, what about whatever happened to Ernie? How would we explain what happened to Ernie? Because you lost, you permanently lost 4 hit points, is what we know.
Well, it took some of my life force, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tarhun like does a quick examination. He's like, "May I?" Like, just like does like a doctor's checkup, taps your knee. It seems like whatever happened to your friend here, it's same deal. You gotta like prove yourself worthy of having whatever was stolen from you back. But from my analysis as a doctor, it just seems like, you know, you maybe are a bit older than you are, but. Like, maybe instead of being, like, what, like, 20, you're, like, 35 now, 40, in terms of, like, abilities to do things? Like...
That explained the creaky
Yeah.
Knees.
What happens to the doctor who treated me?
Oh, Kadana, she's up at the lodge. She's resting right now.
Okay. Because I felt like Kadana was more...
I mean...
Hey, Tarhun's doing great, Zava. Tarhun, you're doing a great job.
It just seems that you don't have the specific expertise needed for magical injuries such as these.
That is
correct. It just seems...
I can go get Kadana. Give me like 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, if Kadana's resting...
Give me like
resting.
5 minutes. This seems important, and honestly, I'm a little freaked out by the cloud and the wolf, so I could use some air. And
not the manatee.
Tarhun walks out.
Manatee's
out. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, he's like, ooh.
And about 20 minutes later, Kadana comes back in with Tarhun. Tarhun says, "I'll just hang out outside." And Kadana's like, "Tarhun was not kidding. This is, in fact, very difficult to cure. But I don't think it's as dramatic as what he might have made it out to be. Please step into these pools of water." Kadana gestures for you and Sidon to step into these like pools of water as she begins to like activate the magicalness of the water and begin to like kind of diagnose you both. And she says, "Well, first thing, sir, is to be cursed by the gods. There are very few people that have been cursed by the gods and lived. So consider yourselves quite lucky. Next, the only other way to, you know, become uncursed by the gods is to be judged by the gods again." That was right. Tarhun did get that correctly. But it doesn't have to be on Mount Ida. It could be anything. Could be another guardian trial. Could be another shrine. Could be crossing over into the spirit realm and confronting the gods face to face. Could even be, you know.
Hey, so Zaba, you could just, you know, you could just like talk to Bannon. A little bit, like, you know.
Well, it couldn't be Zaba that would need to talk. You would have to go with Zaba.
I can't just bring people into the spirit realm.
No, I mean, you could pass along a message like, "Oh, my friends, Sidon and Ernie and a little bit of Pickle."
Well,
Pickle?
I will say this.
Pickle crab.
I will say this. If you are looking to go into the spirit world, all four of you, I may know someone who left here a long time ago, and if they're still alive, they might be able to help you. But otherwise, that's really mostly the case for Sidon, to be rejudged again, most harshly, and to prove that he is worthy. For you, Ernie, it's a little less difficult. You could go into the spirit world, you could get judged by the gods during a set of guardian trials, or you could simply achieve something worthy of a god. Slaying a big creature, you know, is one thing. How else do you think, you know, Tongo, you know, the Talon, became a hero? He slew the great dragon bird and stole its talon. But also in that same, toss, Eridus stole the moon and became demigod-like.
See, I was just going to say, Eridus,
you know,
you
no
have
big
some
deal.
Options.
So you have to steal
performing
something.
Performing a great feat that goes beyond you and whatever, and the judgment you were, you know, that was laid before you.
Okay, so what's the most valuable thing that Scallop owns?
I don't think Scallop counts as quite so fearsome an adversary. As much as...
Are you sure? You want to say that again to its face?
Well, in comparison, you know, Scallop may be this big enemy right now, but a legendary feat, that gives Scallop more credit than he's worth.
Okay, that's
just
I agree with that.
Big bully.
Well, I can tell you that Scallop's most sentimental possession is Jombi, this plush jelly titan that he's had since he was 3 years old.
Wow.
Last I saw it, it looked messed up. It did not look like the color was supposed to be anymore. And if I know Scallop, which unfortunately I do, he still has Jombi.
It seems cruel, but sure. I don't think this is going to get what you want, Ernie, but...
Well, sounds like a feat to me, so... Yeah.
Kidana does like a wash of healing over all of you, so you're all at the maximum hit points you can have.
Wow! Which is permanently reduced for Ernie.
Don't need to rub it in.
Just to remind everyone.
Just taking a little bit of salt and sprinkling it in.
Yeah, but... I look to Sight and I'm like, what did she do that your punishment was so much worse than mine?
Hmm. Oh, does Sight say anything?
Sight doesn't say anything.
Imagine Sight not having said anything and then now is the time, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, this water actually did some great things.
Driftwood says thank you to Kidana and is like, thank you for going out of your way. And Tarhun is doing a great job. If you're the teacher, then I assume next time I come back, Tarhun will be doing these water readings and helping us spiritually heal. So you have a good apprentice on your hands. I will say, I know the festival's tomorrow and there's still so much that needs to get done. Driftwood in this moment feels a little bit like worth like wanting to share and then shows Kidana the mask that they have.
She gives a warm smile mask. And nods. And then she says, about time. Someone on the healing track was a guardian. Enough with the brute force already. Jeez.
No promises that there won't be brute force tomorrow, though. Would love your support in the case that Scallop does anything. Which I'm firmly anticipating he will.
I think you can count on the whole village. You all have done a lot for the village between all the, you know, helping with the festival and the weapons and the food that you've brought back over. You've all done a lot for us and we're very grateful.
Great. And one last thing and then I like nudge Saba. Those vials of liquid.
Oh, yes. I pat around. One second. Where are they? Oh, pull them out of my sash. What are these?
What are these indeed? Well, Kidana says, well, this one, she gestures to a kind of murky turquoise looking one. This one will allow you to breathe underwater.
Well, you can already do that, Zub.
So. That'll be for one day.
One day.
Okay. Oh, okay. You can't do that without expending a ton of AP.
That's true.
And then the other will function something that I've heard called a Pegasus cloak, which is a move from the wizard track. If you drink this potion, you are affected by the Pegasus cloak for one day. And the Pegasus cloak is, you bestow a number of nearby creatures with illusory feather cloaks for the next hour. So you'll get an illusory feather cloak, just you, but for one day. Affected creatures can hover 1 meter off the ground and can move gliding in the direction they want to travel. They'll also fall gently until they are hovering 1 meter above the ground.
Interesting.
Yeah. So basically it's like a potion of slow falling. Way to hack the system. Instead of just randomly drinking potions, you think practically.
You think Zaba would ever just randomly drink potions?
Well, if we need a plan Z tomorrow.
I think Driftwood.
Drink both those potions.
Yeah, that's true. Go. Driftwood would randomly drink these. Driftwood, famously known to eat green onions and dirt.
Nuh-uh.
Literally one of the first things you did after
I
met
Driftwood wants to admit. I don't think Driftwood wants to admit that in front of Kidana.
Yeah, quiet.
Cool.
Never mind. You only ate green onions.
Yeah.
And not dirt.
At that point, Tarhun walks in and is like, you ate dirt.
It's getting late. I'm getting tired.
No, it's not. That's what I said Driftwood didn't eat.
All right. Well, thank you, Healer's Hut. Noro, always doing the most. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Get lots of rest. We got to go and do that ourselves. Guardian crew out.
Are you call? Ooh. Is that what you're calling us now?
I don't know. I was just nervous.
The four of you are going to go back to the Driftwood residence?
Unless anyone else needs to do any thingies.
No. Are you ready to see your parents?
Oh, yeah. Driftwood starts sweating again.
Yeah.
I guess so.
They'll be excited.
Yeah, so the three of you walk back. Beery's helping them make dinner. Are you wearing the mask right now?
I think I'm wearing it, and I think I'm going to go and talk to them. But then, right when we're about to go, when I take it off, I get too nervous.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. They've prepared an exquisite dinner of, like, you know, like glazed pork and eggs and rice and salt and fish. And I'm like, oh, glad to see you all just in time for the festival, says Beluga. Thank you all for helping so much. Really appreciate it, kiddo, and like hugs you. Beery's like, oh, why is the wolf wearing Sidon's necklace?
You want to know why?
Well, Beery,
this may come as a shock to you. Or not.
Right now, this is Sidon. We are currently finding ways that we might bring Sidon into a human form, but for now, Sidon is in this form.
Beery grabs a stick of wood. Sidon, fetch! And no. throws it. Sidon looks at Beery and then jaunts over to it, picks it up, puts it back. Sidon, fetch!
Don't treat Sidon like a dog.
Beery's like petting Sidon all over, like, oh my god, you're so furry.
Well, just don't pull Sidon's tail, please.
To be fair, I think I did see Sidon and Beery playing fetch.
they were playing regular fetch.
Yeah.
But the petting part is that's different. So.
Yeah.
Well, Beery seems to be handling it pretty well. I think
explain
the same thing to the parents.
Yeah. Angler and Beluga are like, oh, that's a lot. Look, we understand the three of you have been through a lot today. You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. We can talk about it tomorrow, after tomorrow, really whenever.
I nudge Driftwood in the ribs.
Ow, my ribs.
Oh, you want ribs, honey? Your ribs hurt?
Yeah, pass some ribs and the banana ketchup, please.
That's not the only thing you passed.
They pass the ribs and banana ketchup.
Okay, fine. Everyone's looking at me. I see. I feel it. I feel all of your eyes. Okay. Mom, Dad, I have to tell you something.
Okay.
So, you know how every day we've been here, things have seemed to get just more and more extreme?
Yes.
And you know how much I have been critical of the Guardian system, right?
Yes.
And you know how much I dislike Guardian Scallop, right?
Yes, honey. We all dislike Guardian Scallop.
Well, there's no good way to say this perfectly. Driftwood shows the mask and puts it on in front of everyone at the table.
Beluga, like, drops utensils. Angler has, like, a mouthful of, like, fish that just falls out.
Big reaction.
Okay. Are you happy with this decision?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
Okay.
But
you don't have to have an answer right now.
Okay. Okay.
But the mask does fit your head. Is it sweaty under there?
It is very sweaty. under here, but cool at the same time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I hope this doesn't affect how you see me.
Not at all. In fact, I think we'd all feel a little bit safer knowing that at least you are the guardian, not Scallop.
Well, we shall see tomorrow. We have the makings of a plan tomorrow to offset anything that might happen. Just that we have an element of surprise. Just so you know, Mom and Dad, Scallop doesn't know that I'm the guardian yet. And so I would be wary of who to share this info with, at least in the short term. I'm sure everyone will find out soon enough.
Do we actually know that I was going to say Sidon again. Do we actually know that Scallop doesn't? Where were you wearing your mask?
Oh. Well, I only wore it on the island, on Noro. I've only wore it here so far.
Okay.
But I wore it in the volcano. And then I put it on a couple times when we were with Tasia.
Okay.
And then I wore it here.
So it's not inconceivable that someone might have spotted you, but for now, I think we can assume we have the element of surprise. It does seem that Scallop is a little AOL, has not been around as much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, fair point. If that's the case, then we will need to find other ways to make this work.
We'll improvise.
Well, for now, let's just enjoy dinner. And please, child, do not destroy any of these decorations and carvings and paintings we've made for the festival. I would really appreciate that.
Okay.
Ooh, makes things difficult. I look at Ernie. Think you can do that?
Mm-hmm. What were we talking about? I was really enjoying this pulled pork.
Yeah, dinner's great. How much do you all eat and what do you all eat?
Ooh, I think Driftwood's super hungry. Like, and kind of like the most hungry they've ever been. Mm-hmm. Like, they're packing it in. So something about today, maybe guardian-ing related, they're just eating everything. They're eating like the tuna steak. There's fried squid. There's pickle crab. There's seaweed salad. There's sea grapes tossed in like coconut vinegar. And they're not getting full, actually. That's the strange part.
What?
There you go.
Well, I lost 40% of my hit points, so I'm about that hungry.
Salva's not that hungry. I mean, we ate a little bit with Tasia,
we did.
Mm-hmm. So I'm having kind of the lighter things. Would it be correct to say there's like a cold pickle crab salad?
Yeah.
Do they have like what's that dish with the raw fish and the lemon?
Oh, like
ceviche?
Yeah.
There's ceviche or kinilaw, which is like mm-hmm. the That's what Filipino it was. Version.
Yeah. Cool. It's a good night. You're all feeling pretty full. Sidon eats like a whole like steak on the floor.
Sorry, buddy.
Sidon shrugs as a wolf, I guess. I don't know how that would look. But yeah, do you all just go to bed? Or is there anything you all want to do before you go to bed?
Driftwood just wants to pray to Mitra, so because of everything that's happened today, and goes over to the ocean. They don't take their mask, so they go in without it.
Cool. Roll me a d20.
It's a seven.
A seven. Ernie and Zaba, is there anything you two are doing, or are you two just going to bed?
Can I talk with, is it Beluga?
Yeah.
About what preparations looked like for the festival, because I want to know what things are going on and a little bit of the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Beluga kind of gives a layout of like, oh yeah, the morning, you know, prayers will start at the beach, and then from there we'll move into like the dance rituals, the parade, or we'll start with the parade going down to the beach where the rituals and prayer will happen, and then we'll work our way back up for all the festivities and the feast at night.
Are there any games that are played?
Yes. Yes.
Are there any combat games? I guess it's a festival of Mitra.
I'm guessing no, but
I'd say the most comparable thing would be like light sparring, like wrestling.
Yeah, there's like some like wrestling and light sparring, some very exhibition performy kind of.
Yeah,
almost theatrical.
It makes sense that there's a kind of fighting form that is made to look like dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I see, more choreographed. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the time that you finish talking to Beluga about all that, I think I'm asleep against Sidon.
Oh, that's cute.
Cool. So yeah, back to you, Driftwood. You're in the ocean. How deep are you in?
Just below my knees, wading in.
Cool. As you reach out to pray to Mitra, you feel the ocean breeze kind of embrace you. And Mitra, you hear a voice. You hear a voice in your head. And Mitra says, "Young guardian, I offer you a choice. A vision of the future or a vision of the past? Which would you like?"
A vision of the future.
And in an instant, you are pulled under the water. And you, when you pop back up, you see a world that is, you're back, like sort of like the world is kind of covered in water, but then in an instant you get pulled back into a vortex and it drains. And it's nothing but hard dirt on the ground. You see that there is no moon in the sky, and there is just Tenkai flying around high, high, higher among the stars, and you are alone. And then when you come back to, you are in fact not dragged beneath the water. You are still ankle deep.
Thanks, Mitra. Oh, man.
Your first time actually talking to Mitra. This is...
Hey, I mean... growing pains. I feel like me and Mitra are just starting to get to know each other.
Did you go to bed after that?
Yeah, with a little bit of wobble, extra wobble to my knees as I go back. I think I take a look at Scallop's house before, just to see how it's looking or if anything's going on over there.
There are no lights on in Scallop's house.
And that's how it's been, right? Like every time we've seen it, it didn't look like anything was going on in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm good. I'm going to go to bed.
Did you want to investigate it? Yourself?
I didn't want to go by myself.
I mean,
you could wake everybody up.
You could. You do know the previous conversation that we had.
Oh yeah,
about the
plush.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's Zaba right now? Zaba is.
Why me?
Like Zaba's in a bed upstairs, and
yeah.
Okay.
And he's downstairs with Sidon.
So I think about it, and I think about everyone who's in the house, and I tap Ernie.
What's up?
Do you wanna go on a walk with me?
Sure.
Okay.
I look into your eyes to see what I think a walk means.
Mm-hmm. You wanna go on a walk with me?
You're gonna go smoke weed. That's what you're gonna do.
The Sora come flying down.
Nah, Sora's sleeping in a hammock, which is kind of funny.
And the cloud is living the life.
Yeah.
I get up. Grab my sword.
So around what time it is? I'm sure it's bordering on the late night now.
It's like midnight or something.
Okay. So interesting. This is like the latest I think we've been out in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to check out Scallop's house.
Yeah, that's why I figured.
Okay.
Cool. Both of you roll me d20s to be stealthy as you make your approach up to Scallop's house.
Can't wait for this roll.
My first dice roll the entire time we've been playing. I got 16.
Got a 6.
Okay. So,
don't like that.
It's kind of like the two of you like make your way up to the house, and then eventually you're like, okay, like we're going to sneak in. Driftwood, you're like, yeah, maybe we can go this way, that way. And then Ernie, you're just gone. You've like found an entry point and you've like just moved along.
Then I ditched Driftwood?
No, not quite. Driftwood, you do see where Ernie's going, but you have a tough choice. I'll hold that tough choice. Yeah, Driftwood, you managed to sneak up, not quite as stealthily as Ernie, but you two managed to sneak in through a window into the dark, moonlit sort of villa that is belonging to Scallop. It's a very simple space. There's a mattress on the floor made of straw. There's a rack of weapons, a map. And yeah, what are both of you looking for?
I guess I'm looking for whether Scallop was here recently, any evidence of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And if there's anything surprising that would stand out, like something that would be violent or details of what Scallop intends for tomorrow that might not exist.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you start going through his things, and the most shocking thing you see is the plush, but it's been mutilated.
What?
It's been destroyed.
Oh, geez. What?
And that's when you start to notice that the dust that's filled up in here, that there's some of it that's been moved away, and you see footprints leading away. And as you look up, your tough choice is that while you succeeded in breaking into Scallop's house, your tough choice, Driftwood, is that you hear footsteps coming back up towards the door. And you can choose between barricading the door so they can't get in or finding a place to, you can choose between warning Ernie that they're coming to the door or hiding. There you go.
That's what I thought you were going to choose.
I'm going to warn Ernie.
Cool. You warn Ernie, and Ernie, you're able to find a place to hide.
Oh, but Driftwood isn't?
Driftwood is not. And the door opens. And a soaking wet Scallop enters, eyes glowing. And Ernie, that's when you notice on Scallop's desk a glint of a very familiar golden scale.
Oh, fuck. I take out my sword.
Dice and Pizza is Maya Worrell as Zaba, Justin Ricafort as Driftwood, Kylo Worrell as Ernie, and myself, Derek Aiello, as the guide. Our cover art is by Gene Young, music is by Itamar Ben-Zimra, and our sound designer is Brian Kim. Thank you all so much for coming back and listening to our adventures back in Murios. This was episode 18, The Burden of Power, part 1. Part 2 will be coming at you in 2 weeks. So stay tuned. Until then, you can follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. And if you'd like, you can toss us an extra dollar or two and support the show over on Patreon. We've got cool perks like uncut episodes, GM notes, outtakes, and more. Supporting the show on Patreon would really mean the world to us, and it would really help continue the work we're already doing. Otherwise, you can also just leave us a review, rating, or ranking, or share the show with a friend. We always appreciate new listeners. We'll see you in 2 weeks.